Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Red and Blue Podcast.
Yeah.
Of course, we are back. It's been a couple weeks, but we did have the international break, so we got to see some of our favorite players, you know, playing for their country and trying to, some of them qualifying for the Euros in 2020. So some big matches, but at the same time, just a break from the Premier League. So that's why we're coming back to you now.
Yep. Been a little break, obviously, like Graham said, because of the international break. But we had matches this weekend. We're recording this on a Sunday. Sunday at like, what, 5 o'clock, something like that.
No, seven, actually.
Seven, a little later. But yeah, so on Sunday. So we have all the matches for the previous week in the books. So we're just going to kind of, you know, catch up to where everybody's at, top six teams in terms of the Premier League, and then we'll go into Champions League a little because we on the last podcast, we didn't know the groups. I think the groups were being drew on that Monday or something.
It was like the next day after.
Yeah, it was like the next day.
We discussed the draw and everything, and now we actually do have the groups. So we can break down the Premier League teams that are in the groups and then also talk about the interesting games in it, but also the big group that everyone wants to talk about, which is the so-called group of death every year in the Champions League. But first, we got to keep it domestic. At least we got to talk about the Premier League because Premier League's five fixtures in, and, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on. But, I mean, for the most part, there are a lot of things are remaining the same with the, with the exception of, you know, Leicester pulling into it and also some of the struggles from the other teams. But Liverpool's at the top of the table. They've had five straight wins. I mean, they have a goal differential of plus 11. I mean, they're just dominating. I mean, there's really no way else you can say. They are just a clear top team at the moment, I think, in my eyes. And I've been saying that for a while. I thought Liverpool was the best team in the world. But Liverpool is just showing their class. And Van Dijk, as the player of the year, is just showing just how strong of a player he is, holding down that defensive line for Liverpool. And with all those attack options they have, it's just, what do you do? Like, what do you really do?
Yeah, they are, you know, picking up where they left off. Not much to say about it. I foresee them continuing to wreck everybody. So
yeah, and the reason they're playing so well is, well, now, because now we have to talk about Man City, because the reason Liverpool is playing so well, it's so early in the season. At the same time, you don't want to fall too far behind in the table behind Liverpool, because if they're just going to keep winning, your chances of margin of error are much slimmer if you're a team like Man City, who's trying to have the trifecta, have a back-to-back-to-back Premier League title. But they're facing early struggles. They played Norwich this past weekend, and they lost. Norwich has given up the most goals in the Premier League all season, and City did score twice, but they gave up three goals. And, yeah, it was not a game I was enjoying to watch, let me tell you that much.
Yeah.
I mean, the first goal happened. It was off a header, and I was like, okay, set pieces. That usually, you know, sometimes that does happen against the smaller teams. The set pieces are always the best ways for teams to score, because it kind of gives them an idea of what they're going to do and how to execute it. But at the same time, they killed us with counterattacks and long balls, and they were just getting behind us. Nicolas Otamendi had massive mental errors in the game, and he's looking like a question mark, especially with the fact that Emir Laporte is hurt right now, and there's no Vincent Kompany anymore. But Man City's low on center backs right now, like legitimately low on center backs. Yes, they are a deep team, but if your middle of your defense is going to get carved up like that, it's going to be really hard to compete in the Premier League with Liverpool, because City could put up two goals, but they conceded three, and they also are just trying to, you know, find themselves, and they have a lot of injuries. But at the same time, they should have won this game. It was Norwich. So I was just like, okay, I don't understand why this happened. Like, it's just Man City is a team that will have these weird losses where it's just like, okay. And then they'll just rattle off like 15 or 16 in a row like they did last year. And it'll be like, why do you lose teams you shouldn't have? So it's just really interesting for me as a Man City fan to kind of be like, all right, you know, Man City is going to have these issues. But at the same time, we talked about it on earlier podcasts in the past months, is just, should Man City even worry so much about Premier League again this year after, you know, being the repeat champ and trying to get themselves into the Champions League, which we're going to talk about later. But that is kind of the avenue that Man City has yet to really go deep into. They've made it to the quarterfinals in the last 2 years and bowed out both times.
Well,
so,
what I would say, though, is that, like, I think the reason why this loss is kind of telling is because you're not even pulling double duty yet. Like, this is when, especially being Man City and you're your month, your schedule for literally the first 2.5 months of the season being literally nobody. It's like, you really don't have an excuse at that point. So it's like, you're not pulling double duty. So it's like, all of these things don't really come into play. This should be when, if you're like a Liverpool type team, you're just rattling off wins. Because even if you do want to prioritize Champions League, you're not worrying about it yet. You know what I mean? So that's why this loss was kind of telling to me. But on that note, I do think that they should be prioritizing Champions League. I feel like when you get to a certain point and you want to be recognized as one of the greatest or best teams in the world, that Liverpool took that step last year, you got to show out in Champions League.
Really, that's the last 2 years, because I mean, they've made the Champions League.
Yeah, and they were in the final. Yeah, and they were in the final the year before that. Good point. So it's like, if you want to be considered one of those the best teams in the world, you got to show out in Champions League. And it's like, yeah, winning your domestic league is great, but look at Barcelona. You can win it every fucking year and nobody gives a fuck if you lose in Champions League. That's just what it is when you're a top team in the world. So, and I think Man City, if they want to take that step, they like I said last year, they really should just focus on, you know, Champions League, because yeah, you've already proved that you're one of the best, if not the best team in the Champions League, or in the Premier League, excuse me, along with Liverpool. Like, you two are the Liverpool and Man City are the best two teams in the Premier League, and I don't think it's really debatable.
Yeah, so Tottenham has made it pretty much to the point where it seems like they're going to stick in a third.
So it's and the third can go up. Sometimes it's Arsenal, sometimes it's Tottenham. Man U might sneak in on a good week. But it's like, those are the two top teams in Premier League, and nobody and everyone knows that. You don't need to prove that anymore. So I think really, if I'm at a Man City, whatever, I am prioritizing Champions League for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely concerning with the way they lost Norwich, because their defense did get carved up by Norwich. And, I mean, Norwich has had some promising attackers, but at the same time, they've also given up a lot of goals, and Man City wasn't able to execute on a lot of opportunities. Like, early in the game, it just felt like that Norwich was really, like, playing at a high pace, and it was really bothering Man City. They were pressing a lot of things that City does.
Yeah.
But it was just issues that they would get too far up the pitch, and then they would lose the ball trying to attack it, and then they would go and have an immediate counterattack, and the center backs were just too far up the field. Those guys are not pacey enough to keep up with those guys.
Yeah.
It's an issue. That's what another reason Laporte was such a big thing, is his ability to stay with attackers as they're going down the pitch is something that was so important. And John Stones and Nicolas Otamendi are not exactly what you'd call fast. So when you're going against all these strikers, most of these strikers are going to outrun any center back, except for the very rare few in the world that are elite athletes.
And again, this is why I think a lot of this loss kind of falls on Pep, because like Graham said, unless you have an elite center back, you're not expecting them to outrun them anyway. So your defensive set should be, you know, placed in such a way that you're not putting your defenders in that position where it's like one-on-one, they're faced to the goal, beat them one-on-one. Like, why is that happening?
And that's
like
the risk of Pep's system, is that Pep's system sometimes does put into factor that he does press so high, and maybe he does have to back down a little bit on where people are going to be.
Or at least know who you're playing, so that doesn't happen. Like,
well, Norwich came out a lot stronger. And like you say a lot of times, a lot of those bottom teams, they don't get, when they play the big six teams, it's their chance to shine.
Man City, though.
I know, but I'm not saying they should have lost, but at the same time, those players are not going to just lay down and die. So those players were playing well, but at the same time, Man City does have talent. It's just,
I hear you.
They had a lot of mental errors.
If it was like a Tottenham or an Arsenal or a Man U, I could be like, yeah, all of that's valid. But if you're a Liverpool, if you're a Man City, you don't really get that slack of, oh yeah, the bad teams come with fire. Like, yeah, but you're Man City. It's like, you don't really get that. You don't really get to play that card when you're at that level. But that, all of that being said, it's still early. They can still make these points back, hopefully. Assuming Liverpool will lose. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Look at their schedule. They have a really easy route throughout the next month and a half or so.
But it's less about, because y'all have already fucked up. It's less about y'all messing up. It's more about if Liverpool's going to mess up. Because if Liverpool doesn't drop points, it don't matter what you guys do, because you're already 5 points behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really about if Liverpool messes up. So you really, it's like, that's why dropping these early points when you're not pulling double duty is so important. And we haven't even gotten into the holiday season, when you're going to be pulling two matches a week just in the Premier League. you know? So dropping these points are going to add up, especially if Liverpool keeps destroying people. So you'll feel them later in the season. That's why it's so telling now. Like,
yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, every team in the Premier League has something that they're strong about. It's the deepest league in the world. But at the same time, Man City is a really good team that shouldn't drop games like this. So they will bounce back. They have the opportunity. It's just this past week, they really looked really shaky in some areas, and that's concerning just going forward with when it comes to the European competition.
And I just want to point out something that I've said in this podcast multiple times is the mental fatigue when you start are becoming one of these bigger teams. And Man City making a probably, what, third year now run at the Premier League, and you've been in Champions every year as well. It's like, especially with the same group of players, you start to get a mental fatigue just having Pep constantly in your ear. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I know I've said that multiple times on this podcast that eventually that's how a lot of great teams break down, is when that mental fatigue becomes so much that you don't play at the level that you could just because you've heard the same things multiple times over and over and over. I don't know if that's happening with Man City, but that is a concern, you know?
Yeah. I mean, those two teams, like you said, are at the top, and we've seen that the rest of the table is kind of shaking itself out. Like, there's five teams tied for with 8 points right now for third place. So it's kind of just like waiting on those. I mean, Tottenham is doing it on goal differential. I mean, they've only scored 11 so far this year, which isn't bad, but they've also given up six goals, which is actually also impressive. They just haven't – they've had a couple losses and draws that maybe they shouldn't have had. But, I mean, Tottenham's doing what they usually do, which is kind of just, you know – they can look really good for for stretches, and then there's times where they're just like, okay, what are you doing? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tottenham, I think it's always wishful thinking, hoping that they will be that third team, because they have been so good for so years. But, I mean, we've looked back over the last, like, 5, 6, 7 years, Tottenham's been in that 3-4 range every year. They're super consistent, but they just – they when it comes to where they place, but when it comes to when they play throughout the year, they just have such these deep ebbs and flows that when they're on their game, they can play with anybody in the world. We saw that last year. But when they aren't on their game, they can be susceptible to dropped points in a league where you really can't do that.
Yeah, Tottenham is just, it's like if they're just constant mediocrity. And it's not bad. Like, third in the Premier League is not bad, you know, consistently. It's just funny when you, like, you look at, like Graham said, we were looking at the tables for the past couple years, and it's just like Tottenham's just constantly in that 3, 4, 5 range, just like chilling.
Yeah, they're like every year. All 5 are champions every year.
Yeah, it's like we'll be fine like every year, and but never really taking that next step that I was talking about Man City taking of being like one of the best teams in the world and really like competing on that level. Tottenham's never really done that, and it seems to be pretty consistent this year that they're just kind of chilling there, not really switching it up too much, being Tottenham, which isn't bad, but, you know, Tottenham's Tottenham.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever, like, I don't think they're going to seriously challenge for the league this year. I mean, they can definitely be a clear third team, but at the same time, like we've said, there's a clear hierarchy when it comes to it, and they kind of are somewhat in a tier of their own, but at the same time, they are susceptible to bad games.
Right.
Well, so, but... And that's how it's going to be for the rest of the teams we talk about. I mean, Arsenal, again, they're doing the same thing they do every single year. They can score, but then they, for some reason, they can't protect.
They can't stop anybody.
So they just end up giving up goals and tying. I mean, they had another game this past weekend where they tied Watford after being up 2-0. And it's always one of three people scoring. It's either Lacazette, it's either Pepe, the new signing, or it is Aubameyang.
Yep.
Aubameyang scored twice today. So it's always those three. The midfielders kind of connect play, but they never really are involved in the goals themselves, and the defense just isn't good. I mean, their fullbacks are still out, but at the same time, it's just they can't protect leads, and they're playing against teams where they should clearly get these points. And if you want to be a team that qualifies for Champions League, which is what Arsenal's trying to do for the first time in like 3-4 years,
yeah,
that's something that you want to do, because those points are going to be a big difference at the end of the year. Because I really feel like it's going to be a huge like rat race for places 3 and 4 in the Premier League. I really think any of these teams we're going to talk about next, maybe not Leicester, they could, unless they can really keep this going, but there's teams that are still going to challenge for top four.
Yeah, in terms of top six teams, I think it's definitely going to be a battle for the top four. It usually is. Like Graham said, nothing, Tottenham and Arsenal, it's really business as usual with them, at least that we've seen in the league thus far.
It's funny, his rivals are both inconsistent.
Yeah, it's just all, I don't know what's up with London.
And we saw in the same game with them where one team scored two goals in one half and the other, and then Arsenal came back and scored two goals at the
end. I don't know what's in the air in London, man. Whatever y'all drinking over in London. It's just a whole lot of mediocrity.
Of London, and also Chelsea there as well.
Yeah, and then you can look at Chelsea, which is just, we know what's going with them.
They look okay.
Eh.
I mean, they have 8 points, which is honestly more than I thought they would have at this point. They really killed the Wolves this past weekend. The Wolves kind of look like a team that isn't really going to be as promising as we thought they were going to be. Maybe they're having a little bit of fatigue from last year when they were so impressive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they could always pop, like, come back and maybe finish top half of the table, but I don't see them really challenging for top six.
Nah.
Which they had a chance, we thought they had a chance to going into the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chelsea, they're doing their thing. I mean, there hasn't really been like marketed improvements in any of the players, but they've also been able to beat teams because they're talented enough. But now they're going to have to start pulling double duty because coming up is the Champions League, and they're not a very deep team.
Yeah, and like we've been chronicling Chelsea for a while here, but they had the, what's it called?
The transfer ban.
So they couldn't
until January.
So they couldn't bring in anybody. So that being said, they couldn't fortify the roster, which was already lacking. To make champions on top of losing their best players, you know, so they look okay now. But like I said, if you're a top six team, these are the matches you should be winning because you're not pulling double duty. You only have to focus on the league. You had the international break, sure, but these matches, it's still early. Like a lot of the matches for qualifying didn't matter too much. So it's just like you really should be winning these early matches unless you're facing another good team. But even then, you really should be putting up a fight because you only have to focus on the league. So
right. The
fact that Chelsea looks okay now is like, all right. But once they have to start pulling double duty and like Graham said, they're not that deep. And that's really when you need depth, which, again, we've talked about multiple times on this podcast. Depth is super, super, super necessary if you're going to be competing in Champions League and want to dominate domestically. You know, Chelsea could do one of the things that I always say to do, and it seems like teams don't really want to do this, but they could say, okay, we want to prioritize the league or we want to prioritize champions. Because especially not being that deep, you know, you're definitely going to have to rest some players, especially when you start pulling back-to-backs. And like I said,
Conte can't be playing every single game.
No, and it's, like I said, when it gets into the holiday season and you're sometimes playing twice just in your own league in a week, that's really going to kill your players when you don't have depth that Chelsea, you know, has none of. So I would say maybe they say, oh, we're going to prioritize champions or we're going to prioritize the league and just, you know, play our B squad there. That's what I would do. It seems like, you know, organizations really don't like to do that. They just always want to go for it. But that really just isn't feasible for a lot of teams. Unless you're a Liverpool or a Man City, it's not feasible for you to, you know, go all out and have a chance of winning both competitions. I think it really would behoove a lot of teams that are kind of like a Chelsea, a Man U, an Arsenal. Just prioritize one and you know, go all out on that and then rest your players.
Like for a lot of them, it should be the league because they're trying to get into that top four and trying to qualify for Champions League next year.
Exactly.
At least for the teams that aren't in it right now.
Exactly.
And for Chelsea, who knows what they're going through, because last year they finished fourth, but with all this happening, they're probably not going to be back next year.
It's like, let's be honest, Chelsea, you don't stand a chance in champions. Fuck champions and focus on the league and build towards next year. You know, same thing with Man U. We're not in champions, but it's like, focus on getting a top four spot. Europa shouldn't be anything anyway. And just, you know, bing, bang, boom. I think that would behoove a lot of these teams. Arsenal's another one. I mean, again, they're not in champions either, but like, just focus on the league. These other competitions are nice, but if you can just put your, you know, your best that foot forward in the league, I think that'll help not only get your team on a better page within the league and, you know, getting a company to playing at a top six level, but, you know, it'll also help you build towards the next year as opposed to trying to pull double duty, killing your players and not winning shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Chelsea, it's been they're a team that has high expectations as well. They're a team that's been one of the biggest teams in England for a long time.
Yep.
You know, this issue that they're having with the transfer ban really did create a lot of issues, and along with Sarri leaving to go to Juventus, I mean, it's a lot of changes happening right now that Frank Lampard is dealing with as a former legend of the team that played for those teams that were some of the pinnacle teams in the Premier League.
Yeah, I feel bad for him because it kind of seems like he's just going to be a sacrificial lamb when they start doing bad.
Yeah, we'll see if he can last and be the full-time manager there or if they're going to eventually
just
get a more seasoned
I think they're going to, once it's transfer ban, they're going to fire his ass and bring in somebody.
They call North London and ask if Pochettino wants to come there.
Ooh, that would be crazy. I don't know. I don't see that.
I mean, if they pay him enough and he doesn't have to move and he has more funds to do, which he hasn't been able to.
He seems to like Tottenham, though.
I think he does, too. But at the same time, I think that's those are the type of names they need to look for when they're trying to, if they're going to get rid of Lampard. Because I think Lampard has the talent. I just think it's going to be an issue to see how patient the Chelsea board is with him.
Yeah. I doubt
it. Historically, it's not very
long. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to last very long.
We'll see how that works. I mean,
it's like I heard rumblings week two. Like, this shit is.
I'm honestly more excited about Leicester than I am Chelsea because Leicester's actually been playing really well so far this year. They have 8 points as well. They've been winning a lot of their games pretty impressively. I mean, they're doing it with a lot of familiar names.
That L against Man U, though.
Yeah. They did. They did, and we will talk about that shortly. But I mean, Leicester still has the good players. They have Kasper Schmeichel, and they have Ben Chilwell, good left back, along with Ricardo Pereira. James Maddison's been a breakout player for them, and they still have a lot of. And then, of course, they have Jamie Vardy up top. So they're still a very good team,
and they still have a few people that were there for that championship run.
Yeah,
so.
Yuri Tielemans was a big signing for them from Belgium, and he's been absolutely phenomenal for them in the midfield with James Maddison. I mean that. That Leicester City team, to me, really has potential to... I think they could potentially challenge for fourth, depending on how messed up the points are this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would it really shock you if Leicester finishes with 65, 66 points, and that gets them into fourth?
Yeah, I would. But I say all of that to say, we're just looking at the roster here, is that there's a couple people on this squad who were there for the championship run. So, you know, if the locker room is solid and they did bring in a couple new signings that really have seemed like they're doing work for them, you know, maybe if I see let's give it a month more. If I see a month more of this, then maybe I'll jump on the Leicester train. But it's still really early, so I don't want to say that they could be a top four team yet.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I think they have the talent, and I think what they're showing so far is really promising. But
it is
against the big six. If they want to finish in the top six or get to top four, they're going to have to either tie or win some of these.
But this is like how Watford looked the past couple years. It's like that borderline top six team.
I think the reason it's, I believe
but
in
but
the
they
Leicester,
always drop. You know,
I think the reason I believe in Leicester the most is they have. Even after the season in which they finished, they won the league, they've always been a team that finishes in like the 7-8 range in the last like 5-6 years. So they're always a team that's been pretty close to six and knocking on the door.
Well, like I said, ever since they won the championship, it seems like they've kept some continuity in the locker room, which is big when you win championships and just instilling culture and stuff like that. I don't know any coaching changes. So, you know, pardon, I'm not a huge Leicester person.
Yeah.
But, I got to see a little more before I believe it, you know, because it's still kind of early. You know, the top four hasn't really fleshed out much. What is it? Top six teams tied for four
five
right now.
Tied for third.
Yeah. You know, what are we doing? So it's still kind of early. I got to see how it fleshes out, but they are showing a lot of promise.
So that's like that's the team outside that we'll highlight for a little while. Hopefully they don't drop off and we do see them kind of challenge for that European competition, maybe even top four.
Yeah.
But we got to finish talking about Man U before we talk about Champions League, just because, well, they did win their game, but at the same time, they do have a lot of players on their injury table.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be something that's going to be really interesting for them coming forward if they can get those players healthy. Luckily, they did win this past weekend on a penalty by Marcus Rashford. You didn't have to worry about Pogba because Pogba wasn't playing. So
yeah.
They got the penalty, and it was an uninspiring 1-0 win according to Olams, but they did get 3 points, and they did move forward.
Yeah, I really don't have too much to say about Man U because I think I've done a pretty good job on this podcast, if you're a Man U fan, of tempering expectations. Like I said, this is really, in my eyes, a rebuilding year with Ollie. This is the first full year of having everybody in the system. We still have some pieces that you know, it seems like going forward he wants to keep. It seems like he wants to keep Pogba. I don't know about that because every indication is that he wants out. It's what his manager keeps saying every other week. I don't know what's going on there. But if we do keep him, then it seems like this is the nucleus that he wants to have going forward. We've been playing a lot of academy guys. Daniel James is the fucking truth.
Yeah, he's really good. He was a very cheap signing this past season from Swansea.
Yeah, he needs to get paid. But because he seems really good. So if he keeps showing out, I'm happy with it. It really just seems like this is, like I said, this is going to be like a rebuilding year. We're in Europa. We're not in Champions, you know. So it seems like we're just going to focus on the league. If we get top four, cool. But I think winning Europa and securing a Champions League spot for next year will be solid. Because even next year, unless some crazy signings or something happen, I don't think we're going to compete. I don't think we're ready next year. But I think getting people like Daniel James that Champions League experience would be really, really important going forward.
Man United could still advance, I think, at least somewhat deep into the tournament. Like, outside of the group stages and give them chances to play in knockout games.
Right. And even if, and like I said, even if we don't win, I think for our young roster coming up under Ollie, that would be important going forward for next year. So, you know, like just getting to the game that happened this week, it was a very uninspiring win. Like Graham said, our whole team is hurt, you know. So
yeah, both fullbacks were hurt. They had two or three midfielders missing and a couple forwards and a forward.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Our number nine was gone.
So, I mean, the fact that you guys won the game despite all that is good to know.
Yeah, and it was just, my big takeaway from the game was, you know, I'm glad we won, but that we really need Pogba. Like, it's a glaring, you know, flaw in our system when we don't have Pogba just clogging up the middle and distributing and making runs. It really shows. So, you know, he's gonna want what he wants. He'll get it because, like, I was telling Graham off before we started recording that he has a lot of leverage because, like I said, when he's not playing, it shows. So, you know, going forward, I hope we can, you know, continue to grow our young nucleus and show promise in the league. But I'm not expecting too much from Man U this season. So Man U fans, just temper expectations and hope that we show some promise because that's really where we're at. You know, I know we're a storied franchise, but it's really a rebuilding era that we haven't really done in Man U right now, but it needs to be done. I've said this multiple times on this podcast. It needs to be done. We need to just kind of purge everything and rebuild it to get the Man U way back. So I think we're on a good path. So just, you know, Man U fans, temper expectations.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to be in the run for the top four this year, so they'll be worried about that. And they'll get healthy throughout the year. I mean, they'll get Wan-Bissaka, the right back.
Who showed a lot of promise. He looks really good.
Yeah, so they have really a lot of good young talent, and they do have a nucleus that I think they can build around that'll get them at least in the discussion for top four at the end of the year. And I don't think it would surprise anybody if they finish third, fourth, and, you know, secure a place next year, and they do get that experience. So
that's the ideal situation, guys. Ideal.
Yeah,
we could finish fifth and sixth easily too. You know, so just temper expectations, man, you fans. But it does look good right now.
So I mean, the Premier League's in a good space, and it's going to start ramping up soon, along with League Cups and stuff. And we're going to talk about Champions League in the groups, but first, we're going to just take a quick break. Okay, and we are back. So obviously, like we said, we have to talk about Champions League because last time we recorded, there was no groups, and now we do have the official eight groups for the Champions League, and that are starting this upcoming week, this upcoming Tuesday, actually, on the 17th is when the first Champions League games take place. So we do get to see a lot of interesting matchups, which we'll briefly highlight at the end. But just to go through the Premier League teams, City has another easy group. They seem to always get lucky with their draws, at least in recent memory.
Lucky. I did air quotes for people listening.
yeah, I mean, they're with Atalanta and Shakhtar Donetsk again, and Dynamo Zagreb. So they should easily advance in that group. So there's not really much to talk about when it comes to them. They got another good draw. So Liverpool is going in, and they play Napoli again. They played Napoli last year, and they actually almost got eliminated by Napoli in the group stages. They had to score in the last minute, and then they came all the way and won the Champions League. So it can't really come down to fine moments in those group stages games at the end, because had they lost that game or drawn that game, I think Liverpool was going to get eliminated.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Red Bull is a mid-tier German team. They probably won't give them much problems. So Liverpool should easily advance. Tottenham's going to be with Bayern Munich this year in the group. They're in Group B, but they have a couple scrubs in their group.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see, you know, Tottenham and Bayern and stuff like that. So I mean, we can just kind of highlight the big matches as we go along with those teams. So, I mean, Liverpool plays Napoli and Tottenham plays Bayern. Chelsea's group sucks.
Yeah.
But then again, so does Chelsea.
So does Chelsea. It's a pretty bad group.
So there's a chance that they do actually advance, but that probably means they would get walloped by whoever they play in the next round. Unless they play anyone from Group G, because Group G is horrible.
Yeah.
So they're with Ajax and Lille from the French league, and then Valencia from the Spanish league. So Valencia is probably the second best team, although Ajax could definitely still make a claim in that group because they still have a lot of players from that team last year. I mean, they did lose De Jong and De Ligt in the offseason, and they were their two best players for sure. So that's definitely a massive loss. But they still do have Ziyech, and they still do have Van der Beek, and they have Neres and all those guys from those team last year. So they're still a good team, but so they might be able to advance. But this group is lacking in terms of talent. Lille had Nicolas Pepe, and he left for Arsenal. So
yeah.
But so I mean, the when it comes to the Premier League, I mean, the groups seemed like they stacked pretty well in the Premier League's favor because they all were in the first group. Because obviously, they can't play each other in the groups.
Right.
They don't play in the group. They don't play until the quarterfinals, which as a Man City fan, I know quite well. But really, when we're coming down to the big group in this competition, it's definitely Group F, and that involves Barcelona, Borussia Dortmund from the German league, and Inter Milan from the Italian league. And that's three really good teams that are going to have to fight it out for two spots. And it wouldn't surprise me if, honestly, with the way Barcelona plays in Champions, wouldn't surprise me if any of those three teams get in.
Yeah, that's for sure the group of death. I'm sorry, guys. My Champions League enthusiasm is kind of lacking, but I don't know why. I'm looking at the matchups, and there's a few.
Is it because United's not playing?
No, because last year I felt like I was kind of hyped. I think it's just because it's early, and I need to like see Champions League football be played, and then I'll get excited.
That makes sense.
But there's a few matchups that look pretty good. Group F should definitely be some good football because Inter Milan, Dortmund, and Barcelona are all really good teams. And like Graham said, Barcelona loves to choke in the Champions League, so anything could happen in there.
Yeah, I mean you're guaranteed in six of those group stage games to get a combination of Barcelona, Dortmund, Inter Milan in a game. So you'll know you'll at least get to see some good football in that stage where it's not just like other big teams beating up on the small ones. So
right.
That's at least nice to see. Like I really like Dortmund, but they did crush Bayer Leverkusen 4-0 this weekend in the German league. So they are one of the clear challengers to Bayern for the German crown, which they're trying to reclaim. But they also do really well in Champions League every year. Inter Milan has done really well in Serie A, and they're going to be a team to reckon with come that year as well. They had a lot of big signings.
Yeah.
I mean, they got two players from Manchester United alone with Alexis Sanchez and Romelu Lukaku.
Yep.
So they added talent to their team, and they already had a lot of talent to begin with. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that group. But, I mean, outside of those groups, I think the biggest games to watch out for will probably be in Group D when Atletico Madrid and Juventus play in the group stage. That's going to be really good matches to watch.
I'm very excited for that matchup.
We got to see that matchup last year.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way those teams play each other is just so interesting. And, you know, the personalities where you have Juventus now with Allegri, gone, you now have Sarri in there going up against Diego Simeone, who's a veteran manager for Atletico Madrid. I don't know if that would play a factor in those games because he is a newer manager, but he's still experienced. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. And you get to see Antoine Griezmann versus Cristiano Ronaldo and like all these talented players from each side. So those games, two games that they're going to play against each other are definitely going to be awesome. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, those matchups will definitely be interesting.
And then other than that, the other big one is going to be Group A when Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid play each other.
Yeah, that's the second big game, obviously, that I'm excited for just because you have so many personalities. Real Madrid kind of looking for, I don't want to say redemption, but I feel like they kind of need to prove themselves again as like one of the best clubs in the world.
Now Zidane back under control, I think they'll definitely have a better opportunity because he seems to maximize the potential out of those players.
We'll see though. And that's where it's like, you don't have the best player in the world anymore. What are you going to do? And it's like last year we saw. But
they're still as talented as anybody in the world.
They are. But talent only gets you so far in Champions League. Barcelona will tell you that.
And that's where managing and adjustments are going to have to happen in those games.
Right. And that's why I think it's a good matchup, PSG, because PSG also has a choking spree in Champions League. So it'll be interesting, you know, and the rest of their group is pretty bad. So they'll both probably go through, but it'll just be interesting to kind of see how those teams play each other, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to see those games happen because, I mean, if one of those teams can get a win, that's definitely big for getting the top of the group and getting a more favorable matchup in the Champions League.
Right.
So, I mean, hopefully they don't draw anyone from the group of death in the round of 16.
And what if one of them loses to fucking one of these other crap teams?
Yeah, Galatasaray. They're a decent Turkish team, but at the same time, and Club Brugge.
Oh, that would be crazy. So yeah. This group has a high level of storylines that could happen because both of these teams love to choke. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the Tottenham Bayern stuff just because I like Bayern is a team I still like enjoying watching, and Tottenham is an interesting team. And then, yeah, I do like Atletico and Juve. And then, yeah, I mean, I'll probably watch the Ajax games just because I like watching Ajax a little bit. Maybe just at least keep an eye on them. But for the most part, yeah, the league, there's not a massive glut of huge teams in the group stages together this year. So there's really just the one group of death. So there is going to be some interesting matchups, but I think it's going to get more intense once, obviously, we get into the round of 16. But it's still good to see how these teams perform in the European competition and get used to that, you know, that endurance and having to play so often. So
yeah, I think that's the big thing that I'm going to be looking for in the group stage is how these teams, especially Premier League teams, because obviously we're a Premier League podcast, but how the Premier League teams really adjust to pulling double duty. And like I said, if some of these teams decide to pull out any strategies where it's like, look, we're not going to prioritize Champions League, like Chelsea, because it's like, we don't have the bodies to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll just be interesting to see how it shakes out in the group stage. I think for the most part, other than the group of death, I think it'll probably shake out how we expect with everybody else. But it'll be interesting to see just to get Champions League football up again. I'm a watch. I'm going to be excited. I hope right now, like I said, I'm just kind of like, nah. And I hope it's not because Man U isn't in it, because I don't think that's going to happen for a while. But once I see it, you know, all the top teams being played, there's always a match in the early stages that's just like, this should have been the final. This was crazy. Like, what was it last year? It was like,
I think it was Atletico and Juve.
Was it Atletico Juve?
Yeah,
that was like 3-3 or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
it was a crazy
game. Yeah, oh my God. That should have been the final last year. So there's always a match like that happens.
Yeah, because Ronaldo tied it.
Yeah, and then Ronaldo had the goal, and I was just like, yo, he's the GOAT. This is crazy. But there's always a match like that in the early stages. So I'm going to be watching and, you know, just, you know, waiting for the magic, man, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm really going to be interested to see these matchups, but at the same time, once the draw happens again in the 16, we'll get a clearer view, but it will be cool to see some of these bigger teams outside of, the Premier League go up against each other, just so we can kind of get a good idea of what we're going to go up against and what other teams are going to go against throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and who's going to be the breakout star? Because we all, as you know, we've been doing this for a while now. There's always a breakout star in the Champions League.
Right.
You know, Ajax last year, there's always a team that wasn't supposed to make it. So who's going to be the team that kind of breaks out and shows a lot of promise in the Champions League this year?
I think there's a couple teams that could do it. I think potentially Valencia has gone deep before, and I think they are a team to watch out for. Ajax could certainly get into the quarterfinals again.
They lost some people, didn't they?
They lost De Jong and De Ligt.
Yeah.
Which is big.
That's big. But
at the same time, they are a talented team in their group. If they get a favorable draw, they could find themselves in the quarterfinals.
And they could. That's true.
So, I mean, at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if we see Dortmund in the final eight because Dortmund's a talented team. Or it wouldn't surprise me if Napoli makes it to the final eight because they're a talented team. But at the same time, if I had to pick one, I would probably go with the dark horse. Because Dortmund's not a dark horse. I'd probably say Valencia because I think Valencia is a very disciplined team. They constantly do well in Spanish league. They're always in the top four, top three territory, and they can play teams really hard, and they play at a pace that a lot of Premier League teams play at. They play at a higher pace, so they're used to other things like that. It'd be interesting to see how they would do against an Italian team. I actually don't know if they play an Italian team, do they? Yeah, they play Ajax and they play Chelsea, so they're gonna be playing, like, Ajax is somewhat similar to them, and then Chelsea, who knows yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Valencia, but I think veteran teams are the teams that usually can make it far, like we see with the Romas of the world and the Lyons last year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really going to say because I don't know enough about these teams in their current state, but, you know, Valencia makes sense because they do always make deep runs. They're always talented. They're always there. We're just looking at the list here. I don't know. It could be Napoli just because they did give trouble last year
Yeah, I mean, Bayer Leverkusen looked like they had some promise coming to the year, but they lost 4-0 to Dortmund.
Yeah, not much. Because at this point, a lot of the teams that we're naming, they're consistently there. So is it really a dark horse? You know what I mean? Like, you know, at this point, we expect these types of teams. It doesn't, at least to me, and that's why it's interesting, because these things will develop as these storylines pop up as the tournament goes on. But it's just because you never really know who's going to be the team that just shows out, because, you know, Champions League is the best of the best. Even if you're, you know, not all the teams we're shitting on now, they could make a run because, you know, you made it here and that means something. And, you know, like we always say in Champions League, a lot of times you tend to play down to your competition, or your competition plays.
Oh, City is aware of that.
Yeah, or your competition plays up to you. Man, you did it a lot under Jose, like all the time. We would play down to our competition all the time. So that tends to happen a lot too in Champions League. So it'll just be interesting to see the breakout team, even if it's not like an established team like Valencia or Lyon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's definitely going to be an interesting group, and we'll definitely keep you updated on it throughout it. We'll definitely be back in a couple weeks.
For sure.
Stuff down, let you know what's going on in the Premier League, kind of give us early impressions of the group stage, see if there was any big things, because like we said, maybe there's going to be a big game early on where an upset happens and we have to talk about it.
Yeah, as usual, we're always going to come back if anything crazy happens, but if not, just look for us in a week and a half. We'll come back with the first games of the Champions League and what's been going on in the Premier League. But as usual, keep up with everything Tree City by joining the Tree City Street Team at treecityrecords.com. You get emails, updates about everything that we do. Biggs just dropped his project, Life of Biggs, what's the title?
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I should know
Life
this.
Of Biggs is one of his songs.
That's like one of the title tracks. That was the first single, but Biggs just dropped his shit. Ozzy just dropped What the Termination Sounds Like too. Both of those are out. You can get Ozzy's you can get all of them on the Tree City. .com on the website. Ozzy's is on SoundCloud. You can get Jeff's on all streaming services. All streaming services. Spotify, Apple, anything that you can stream, Jeff's is on there. And just go to the website and SoundCloud for What the Termination Sounds Like too. And we love that you guys keep supporting the podcast, keep listening. Tree City Sports just dropped a new episode. Keep listening to them. And keep, you know, follow me and Graham on Twitter. If you don't, that's how you can get updates from me on most things I'm doing, like when I'm streaming, when I'm going live and things like that. If I'm going to be dropping new music, I'm going to definitely be tweeting and retweeting everything.
Yep.
So at MCO The Sky King, if you guys want to throw me a follow, you'll get updates on anything we're doing as a label.
Yeah, as usual, I'm at GTMOHAN, and you can ask me any questions about soccer. You can do any video game questions. You know, things like that. Definitely in the football season right now, we were talking about that in the Tree City Sports podcast. So we'll definitely get some more coverage on the NFL soon. But at the same time, make sure you come back and listen to the Red and Blue podcast, which is hopefully we're getting a new feed soon. So that way you can get us both and the Tree City Sports podcast, and it just doesn't get so mashed together.
Yeah, it's kind of cluttered right now.
We are under the same network, but at the same time, we want to give Red and Blue and Tree City Sports, they're each of their own equal platforms. So we're going to do that soon. So look out for a new feed soon. We'll let you know the details when that happens. But again, thank you so much for listening to the Red and Blue podcast. I guess we'll see you guys soon.
Yep. Peace.